you, Agus Falcha, good you and Clark, and Luke Claskill, the shock to the shoulder, me, Tom Cormack, with you as usual until 9 o'clock. And, well, reflecting on Donegal's defeat in the Ulster final, that's our main topic tonight. I'm joined again by Maureen O'Donnell and John Harn to look back on that defeat of Donegal by Monaghan, just by a point, 11 points to 10. That's how Sunday's Ulster final ended up, and Donegal certainly had the chances, but just didn't happen to make it on the day. About that, just a little bit of interference here on the phones, I think. Maybe if we could turn off our phones or whatever. For some reason, they're coming up on the mics. Okay, Jimmy is giving me signals here. But anyway, just to remind you once again, we'll also be joined later on by former Tyrone All-Star defender John Lynch, who will look on Tyrone's great run through the qualifiers. Of course, they're just one game away now from an All-Ireland quarter-final. They play in Sligo, the defeated Connacht finalist, who were well beaten by Mayo last Sunday. But for now, first of all, I'm delighted to see you once again, as I said, I'm joined by Maureen O'Donnell. Very good night to you, Maureen.
Good night, Tom.
And by John Harn as well, to reflect on that defeat at Donegal. But first of all, of course, Maureen, you're also here to talk about Donegal ladies, who were in an Ulster final. And I think we have solved one conundrum about this. It is actually a first ever Ulster final at senior level for Donegal ladies.
It is. I think they're going to make maybe it's going to be a bit of history making maybe on Sunday now, Tom, if they get on right. Well, they've already made history by making it to the final, and hopefully they can break down one of the Monaghan forces now and come away with the victory on Sunday.
Anyway, we'll talk about that game a little later on in the programme, and indeed we'll tell you some news about Maureen as well, and in a new role she's going to have on Sunday. But John Harn, reflecting on that 1 point defeat by Monaghan on Sunday, what did you make of it?
Very disappointing, Tom. You know, we said here last week that Monaghan were going to put it up to us, and they didn't fear Donegal, you know. But looking back, Tom, having a few days to reflect, and you know, you read the papers and you see what the analysts have to say and the experts, you know, Donegal played quite poorly on the day, Tom, and still could have nicked the draw, could have nicked a win. Mm. You know, Monaghan didn't score for the last 25 minutes. They only scored 11 points. So we had said that here last Wednesday night.
Yeah, because Seamus McEnany was saying he was going to take 13 or 14 points.
Yeah, I think we would have said, you know, Donegal are going to do that if they keep Monaghan scoreless for 25 minutes and Monaghan only scored 11 points. We're going to win. We're going to get more than that there. But we just didn't perform on the day, Tom. You know, people are saying Monaghan set up defensively and they were quite smart and they didn't fall into the Donegal traps and they had us on the break and all that there, which is true. But, you know, we just didn't take our chances. We created plenty of chances. Another day they would have gone over. You'd put your house on Colum and Patrick McBerty, you know, and Neil had a chance and different boys put wise. And you, Neil McGee in the first half, you don't blame them boys. Listen, they took on the shots and on the day it didn't go for us. But overall, we just didn't play well enough, Tom. Too many players played below par. And, you know, I was at the match, but you couldn't see it at the time. But at the match, but Michael was heavily strapped and, you know, we're hearing now that he hadn't trained for 2 weeks and he had an injury. How serious it is, we don't know, but it definitely affected him on the day.
Yeah, and he had that injury well disguised, I think, and well strapped up on Sunday.
Well, I couldn't see it at the match, and I had no headphones on. I suppose if you were listening to the commentators and people could see it on TV, but at the match I couldn't see it, so, you know, it was news to me. But obviously you've seen it afterwards, and, you know, Michael just wasn't himself, and he, you know, when he's not firing on all cylinders, it's a big loss for Donegal.
And I suppose it's even more hard to take in the fact that, as you said, the miss so many chances, but so also they started so well.
That's what I said to my father. I said, they're sharp. Lacey's point, Patrick McBerty coming on the loop over the bar, 2-0 up, you know, and you know, we were dispossessing Monaghan when they came up the field and we were attacking. But after 7 or 8 minutes, that just seemed to disappear and Monaghan settled and they started to go from back the field with the ball. And, you know, reading Jim McGuinness's and the Irish Times, you know, Monaghan were set up, they knew not to go into the Donegal web, as he called it, not to get caught up, stay outside the 45, move it over and back, wait for the chances. And, you know, Monaghan were very, very disciplined. I've seen somewhere today where the first kick pass that went astray from Monaghan was in the 67th minute, which is quite unbelievable. You know, alright, they went into a few tackles and did get dispossessed, but the kick pass to go astray at that late stage. So Monaghan were, you know, you have to give Malachy O'Rourke and Ryan Porter credit for that. They were well drilled and they knew what they were going to come up against. And they, you know, you would say that they're probably looking at this game for a long time, thinking that they would beat Cavan and they would beat Fermanagh. And listen, they were preparing for Donegal and Ulster final maybe from a long way out, and they had their homework done. And listen, they got over the line, Tom, but I wouldn't be, you know, shouting from the rooftops about Monaghan. Listen, they didn't score for 25 minutes. And they only, you know, I know the Bellis isn't fair, but the better team of the day. But
we'll talk about where do they go, where Donegal are at and where they go from now. Why do you think they didn't? Was it all down to Monaghan, or as Maureen actually said here last week, did we see signs maybe against Derry that maybe were slightly worrying? Was there echoes of Down in 2013?
Yes, possibly. You know, we weren't firing all cylinders against Derry, but we got over the line and we thought maybe, you know, they'll pick it up for the Ulster final. But it did seem to be a wee bit flat, Tom, you know. All right, we started well, but it did seem to be a bit flat. You know, there was too many men getting isolated, attacking. They were going on ones and twos when maybe they need three or four, and one man to give a pass and then another man inside and, you know, keep Monaghan guessing. But we were just too lateral over and back, and no man was punching. And in fairness, any time we tried to punch holes in them, they dispossessed us, you know.
Christy, were you surprised at that?
I was a bit surprised, you know, because normally, you know, Donegal can break the tackle and then they slip a pass to the man running off the shoulder and it's over the bar, or we get in inside the line and, you know, we can slip another pass. But we just didn't seem to have the runners coming off the shoulders, and we didn't seem to have the, you know, the ability to punch holes in the Monaghan attack, and it left us, you know, it left us with very little options. Monaghan didn't foul, Tom. We had very few free chances, you know, all right, a couple at the end, but throughout the game, you know, they were very disciplined.
Don't I guess the Leshan Clower coming Luke Class getting a shock on the show to me, Tom Cormack, as usual on a Wednesday night, with you until 9 o'clock tonight in the company here of John Hearn, former Donegal player and, of course, current St. Junan's player, and also former Donegal senior ladies player, Maureen O'Donnell, and, of course, a Club All-Ireland winner with Termin only last year. Maureen, what's your reflection on the game? You had your fears. I know you expressed them here last week.
I did, Tom. I suppose I talked to you last week maybe about the hunger, and maybe the hunger in Donegal players now. I haven't won the All-Ireland a few years back there now, and going on against Monaghan again, it was going to be a huge ask from the Donegal players. And as I said to you, like, they seemed a bit deflated looking in the Derry game. They were very, I thought, to be fair, they were a bit stale at the time, you know, and they lacked a bit of pace. They weren't playing as comfortably as they normally would play. Again, it's very disappointing. I agree with John. I wouldn't be shouting for the rooftops from Monaghan either. They just seemed to be more disciplined on the day. And I thought Michael Murphy, now having not been in the game, was a huge thing for the rest of the Donegal players, you know. It seems that they do rely heavily on Murphy on a day. And even at one stage, Michael Murphy gave away a terrible ball and around the 45-yard line. And Monaghan, you know, would build on things like that. And they were. And
I think probably a score came off it, I think.
That's right. You know, they were just making poor choices that they, you know, on a better day that they'd make a lot better choices. Like, they were hitting, when you had 17 wides in a game, and I know we came fairly close in the end, but again, we just weren't as disciplined and probably not as patient as Monaghan were. And you could see that even the last kick of the game, when Patrick McBearty just hit that wide, you know, if they had just
Has anybody watched it, or has it been conclusive either way?
I don't know, Tom. The umpire, in fairness, seemed to be quite adamant, and you know, these umpires get a lot of stick, and sometimes they look at the other boy and they don't know what they're doing. They cough. I know there's no hockey, but he seemed to be quite definite. So listen, and Patrick didn't seem to, you know, complain too much.
I was talking to a former county player during the week, where he said that Patrick should have complained, and the rest of the Donegal players should have complained, even if the thought was wide, because it would have put the referee under pressure.
Well, maybe
to play a bit longer, and maybe say, have a doubt in his mind, was that over or was it not, and maybe give them another opportunity to maybe get an equaliser.
That's gamesmanship, Tom, and if everyone starts shouting and the referee says, hold on a minute, I'll go in and consult the umpires, and the two of them gather and the three of them start talking and the crowd starts roaring and it's an injury time, and if he gives a point, it's a replay and everyone's happy, you know, possibly. But listen, that's sport, and, you know, fairness to the Donegal boys, you know, they didn't cause any hand-ons, or there was no protests after, or there's no bad feelings, so, you know, give them credit for that.
And tell me, Carol Lacey going off, how big a blow was that?
A very big blow. Speaking to Maxie on Monday night, you know, and just a quick word with him about the game, and he thought, you know, if Lacey had stayed on, he thinks Donegal would have won. And I says, why, Maxie? Well, he says, you know, going forward, when Donegal had all the possession in the second half, he thinks Lacey would have got a point, he would have broke the tackle and got it free, you know. He says he's very good at that there. So listen, Kerr Lacey, four-time All-Star, Tom, he's, you know, a brilliant player, and you would need him on the pitch as long as you can any day. So I'd say he was a loss, absolutely.
And in terms of the substitutions, what did you make of them, John?
Well, Tom, we've said all, and I've said it here a few, going back, you know, I've always said that, you know, from the team that won the All-Ireland, we're missing three or four players, and we don't seem to have the backup for them. Rory Cavanagh's gone, Leo McLoone had gone, he's come back. To me, Anthony Thompson, I'm not saying he's away, Anthony's doing his best, but he's in London and it's just not the same.
Mm. You know, when Ryan Bradley
and Brick Malloy, who's always good to come off the bench and get a couple of scores. So them players have all gone, Tom, and you know, the boys coming through, it mightn't just be the same calibre. And throughout the championship, you know, we said last week, what was the stat that Rory had brought on 14 subs and 7 or 8 of them had been in the last 5 minutes of the 3 championship games. I think I read somewhere where we maybe have 1 point from our subs so far this year in the championship. Mm. So they're not making a big enough impact on the scoring front. Mm. Defenders, surely. So, you know, I thought maybe, I know Leo McLoone's only back in the panel, but why bring him back if you're not going to use him? You know, bring him in. I thought he'd be brought in 10 minutes into the second half, especially when the game was there, when we had to chase it, you know.
Mm. Talk to me about those in the Donegal team. Let's be positive about those that did impress you, because there was a few good performances individually.
Yeah, Paul Durkin, in fairness, you can't fault him for anything. I think he was very safe and his kickers were good.
He made a good save. And
he did make a good save,
and
yeah.
And the ref
yeah,
punished him.
The ref punished him. Yeah, that's the luck of the draw. I thought the two McHughes tried fierce hard, Tom, in the second half. They ran their hearts out, you know. Listen, I thought Neil Gallagher had a massive second half. I know he gave one bad pass to Marty Riley, and it's unlike Neil, but I thought, you know, I said to my father, and it was things that you don't notice. He was tackling back and he was intercepting and he was getting the hand in. I thought he had a big, big second half when Donegal needed it. Apart from that, Tom, you know, a lot of Frank McGlynn's got a lot of plays. Like Frank, to me, Tom, Frank McGlynn should have got an All-Star last year. It was a disgrace, you know. I seen him last year at the turn-on of the Christmas lights down in Letterkenny, and I tweeted at the time, that man should be in, I think it was, where were the All-Stars at the time? They were away on holidays.
Assembly Hall or somewhere.
And Frank McGlynn should have been there instead of down with his children and Letterkenny at the turning on the Christmas tree lights. But Frank was exceptional again. He's having a great year. But too many players probably underperformed, Tom. And we don't like to criticise them. Like, you know, we don't like to name names.
Would you agree with Maureen that maybe there is a bit of staleness coming there?
Yeah, possibly. You know, they've done a lot, Tom. They've won a lot. And, you know, they've got their All-Ireland, and it's hard for them. We all know the training that they're going through, and they put their lives on hold, and you know, it's very hard. And maybe, Tom, they're looking at an All-Ireland. Maybe an Ulster title isn't what they wanted, but when you go out in an Ulster final and you have a chance to make history, some of them players to win their fourth medal, and no other Donegal player has 4 Ulster medals, you know, you would think that they'll be able to get themselves up for it. But listen, some of them players are getting old and they have a lot of miles on the leg, and it's not easy for them. So possibly steal, yeah.
And you mentioned maybe they have their thoughts and minds on an All-Ireland, and maybe an Ulster Championship is that success. That's the new goal now. Do you think they can lift themselves again and go on and maybe challenge? They've Galway next week. You know Galway. You went to college with a lot of them, or school.
Yeah, I think they have a chance. The big thing now, I think, Tom, is whether Michael Murphy's going to be fit. Mm. You know, if he wasn't fit last week, which he didn't look like, is he going to be any better in 2 weeks' time after playing that game?
And there has to be a doubt about Carl Lacey.
I think there's a serious doubt about Carl Lacey in his knee, you know, maybe ligament damage, so going to be a big, big loss. And Murphy, you know, if he's not firing all cylinders, Tom, you know. But then,
is there the argument there, no matter how good a player is, if he's injured, he shouldn't start?
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that, Tom. You know, someone of Murphy's ability, and, you know, I think he wanted to play and he thought, you know, he might be able to run it off, or, you know, once the adrenaline gets pumping, that, he, you know, he'd be...
And he trained on Thursday night.
He trained on Thursday night, so there you are. So, but maybe people are saying, well, if he's kind of injured, play him at the edge of the square and he doesn't have to run around as much, and maybe Monaghan have to put 2 or 3 men back and might leave space out the front. But listen, Tom, Rory Gallagher and Gary McDade, and these boys are tuned in. They know what they're at, and, you know, they've it all figured out, and they don't just make these things up on a whim and a prayer, and they have their homework done, and it's strategies and it's tactics and it's this and that, and you know, you have to trust them, and you know that they, you know, some days, Tom, they go for you and some days they don't. Listen, we know all about last year
and going forward in the qualifiers.
I think we're going to struggle, Tom. I think I do. Like, if Murphy's not fit and Lacey's not fit, we're going to struggle. Might beat Galway. It's going to be a test. Nothing's going to be easy.
They'll
have their tails up, and you know, Kevin.
And they've
Wilsh,
gone very defensive.
They've gone very defensive. Kevin Walsh has instilled that in them, and can be quite cynical, as we've seen against Armagh in the last 10 minutes. They've not, you know, they're getting streetwise, Galway, which wouldn't have been something we could say about them this last 10 years. They've been quite flaky, so they're going to be a test. And if we get over that, we're looking at the well, the monster that is Mayo at the minute, but I would worry about Galway first before we think about Mayo.
Yeah, well, it is looking like Mayo if you beat Galway, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And what of Mayo's been last week against your, shall we say, your
poor Sligo?
Yeah.
No, listen, Mayo were outstanding. I think it was always on the cards, but maybe not to that extent, you know. And I think the Sligo managers come out and said he was a wee bit naive, but. You know, he had a plan too, and he thought the best way for him, his team, was to have a go at it and, you know, not park the bus, maybe like Westmeath did against Dublin. So it's hard to know, Tom. Listen, Mayo are a good team, and Sligo just aren't at that level.
Tato, I guess the Leish and Clark, and Luke Glasgale, Tom Comeck, and my special guest in studio is John Harn, who you heard there reflecting on Donegal's defeat by Monaghan in last Sunday's Ulster final. We're also joined by Maureen O'Donnell. Of course, former Donegal Ladies star and All-Ireland Junior Championship winner with Donegal, and of course, club winner with All-Ireland club winner with Tarman late last year. Maureen, as we said, Donegal Ladies has finally been settled. It is the first ever Ulster final for them. Huge game for Donegal.
Yeah, it's a big game, Tom, now on Sunday. Big game for all the girls involved. You know, as I say, it's history in the making now. And, you know, they just, I suppose, will be preparing all week now, training this week. And they'll be resting towards the end of the week now in preparation for the weekend. I'd say, you know, going into this game, for a lot of these girls, they'll be experienced. They'll have a lot of experience going into it. But there's an awful lot of younger players there as well.
Mm.
But, yeah, I'm sure they're looking forward to it now.
And there was some confusion on whether you were in the final before or not, but I think we found out that you weren't.
There was. We've never been in a senior Ulster final. The year in 2003, now we were, and we won the Junior All-Ireland that year. And 2004, then we went into the senior, but we got beat. And that was the first year of the back door, Tom.
Yeah.
And we went through the back door system. And we went in and we played Dublin and we lost, you know. And I suppose, I remember now that year, to be honest with you, and again, as I say, the first year, the backdoor system, you kind of, I don't know what it does to you mentally, but you kind of go into a final, you say, well, if we lost this, we're not out, you know. And maybe that was the case for Donegal at the weekend too, you know, and maybe that's the case in men's football as well. You know, they have this mentality, well, all is not lost, you know, and, you know, we have an Ulster medal and, We'll get through.
But that team around that time are the only team that beat Monaghan, I think. Is that right?
That's right. Aye. So, and that was a big thing because Monaghan and Ladies Football, I mean, they're massive, massive rivals for Donegal down through the years at under-16 level, at under-18 level. And for ourselves, they were a hurdle to get over in many years, you know.
And they have been the top senior team in the last decade or so, haven't they?
Absolutely. And club-wise in Monaghan, like, they've gone off a lot of strong teams there and, you know, no more so than Dunamoyne, who they'll have a good few players in the team now on Sunday as well. And, you know, they were our boogie team at club level for a number of years in Ulster. And
what did you do to get over them?
Well, it's, you know, you go out and you try and prepare, and it's mostly about learning from your mistakes from years gone by, you know. And building on your mistakes and, you know, trying to put a better strategy and a better plan in place for it. And, you know, hopefully the Donegal Ladies now going in on Sunday will have a strategy and will have a plan. And, you know, any team's beatable in the day, no matter how good they are.
How good are Monaghan?
The Monaghan are very good. I would never underestimate Monaghan and the Ladies. They're always very, very tough to beat. And as I say, for Donegal, they've been a thorn in Donegal's side now for many years, but to be fair to the Donegal Ladies now this year, they've got an excellent bunch of players there. And, like, I wouldn't have any doubts that our girls can go out and beat them now on Sunday.
Yeah. And, of course, there's action tonight in the Ulster Under-21 Hurling Championship. The final is on in Ballinasgreen. It's Derry versus Antrim. There's about, 10 minutes to go there. A pretty close game throughout. Antrim in front, 113 to 13 points. That goal, not sure who scored it for Antrim, but they on top there in that one, have been for most of the game, but Derry doing well. And of course, congratulations to Damien McAuline and the Derry Minor Footballers. A good win on Sunday in the Ulster final. Of course, they defeated Donegal in the semi-final and went in very much as the favourites last Sunday. John, I know, as a man that follows underage football, Derry, I suppose, they laid the foundation in the first half and held on in the end?
They did, Tom, yeah. You know, a very good team and well-drilled. Kevin, a big support there. But, you know, Derry had their homework done, and after beating Donegal, who was, you know, the favourites, you know, it would have been a big surprise if they didn't get over the line. And, you know, in fairness, there's some quality players.
And I think it's something like 15 years or 13 years, I think.
13 years, I've seen somewhere on Twitter, they look for
any championship.
Any championship, minor, under 21 or senior for a county like Derry. So, you know, really is, you know, they've always had a strong club football, and sometimes that's been to the detriment. But, you know, Derry have serious talent if they can just get it together and get them all pulling in the one direction.
And it's amazing that this win has coincided with the rise, shall we say, of St. Pat's Mahara again. Just to prove how important it is.
College is football, and that great four in a row of the Glen Mahara club, them off their titles, and Conor Glass, and I think there was a few more of them Mahara boys on the team. Yeah, absolutely. It goes hand in hand, and it always, you know, it always has. And when St. Pat's Mahara are going well, Derry Miners and underage teams are going well.
And they're into the All-Ireland quarter-final now. I think, is it, not sure who they're playing. I'm not quite sure who they're playing. But anyway, they'll obviously give the championship a good run. Tato Agaista, Clash and Clark coming, Luke Clarskale, and a shock to the show, Lamith, Tom Comack, and well, of course, Tyrone lay down a marker again at the weekend, John as well. Another big victory for them, the third on the trot in the All-Ireland qualifiers. 19 points to 7 against Tipperary. Most people expected that one to be a lot closer.
A lot of people thought it'd be a lot closer, Tom. I honestly expected Tyrone to win. I thought it'd be closer, but, you know, people were on about Tipperary, this and that, but Tipperary flattered to deceive against Kerry in the championship, and, you know, they're still a Division 3 team at the end of the day. People chat about under-21s and underage, but underage, one underage and a blue moon's no good at senior level, you know. So I fancy Tyrone. Now, Tyrone hadn't been going well up to this, Tom. The happiest man around here would be P.O. McCann coming down the road tonight from Oma, because, you know, Tyrone's going well again. They weren't good against Limerick, you know, in Oma, but I was very impressed. Now, just watching TV, very impressed with them, Tom. I think everyone is, and everyone's getting, saying, here come Tyrone again through the back door.
Well, John Lynch, good night to you. Are Tyrone up and running again?
How's it going, Tom?
Yeah, how John, are you? Are Tyrone up and running again?
Well, they're up and running, Tom, I suppose. We're still in the championship. It's funny, it's ironic that you know, we went to Balbuffet in the preliminary round and we get beat and we go away with our heads down and be really in bad form about the whole thing, and it turns out that we're now sitting in the same position as Donegal at this stage. So it's that's where the criticism comes, I suppose, in the back door. But we're still there, Tom. Unfortunately, we were hoping to go the other way, but you know, thankfully we're there. As John was saying, we didn't impress. We haven't impressed really, especially in the Limerick game. We were very poor. You know, there's a chance we nearly would have lost at one stage. But you know, players are starting to come into it, I suppose, Tom. It's maybe they're finding their feet again in the championship. I suppose it's getting the run of the games. Them couple of games helped. You know, it helps you get in there. You know, maybe if Donegal looked at it, maybe possibly it might have helped them to sort of go back through that system and bring more players in, which we did. You know, Mickey used a fair few players right through there, so he knows where he's at this stage.
And are you coming to a stage now where you have a fairly settled team and you probably know your team?
Aye, you know, more so this year than he did last year. Mickey used a lot of players last year and the team seemed very unsettled. There's always you know, quite a number of changes, whereas this year he seemed to have settled with, you know, the full forward line stayed the same, and the, you know, the half back line staying the same, so he's staying with a settled team, which to me is very important that you do that, because players start to know where they're at and stuff. So, and then players are coming into it. You know, the likes of Matty Donnelly came into it better in the second half. I thought he had a poor first half, but he played very well in the second half. Peter Hart was my man of the match against Kip, but players like that are starting to come through. Sean Cavan is starting to show. You know, them players are starting to come through again, which is good to see it. Like,
yeah. And what can one say about Sean Kavanagh? What, 76 championship games?
Well, you know, you have to take your hat off to him, Tom. He's a top class player. He's one of the best. He's obviously one of the best we've had for a long time. And even the way he played on Sunday, he didn't probably have one of his better games, but still in all, he done a lot of work to get us there. You know what I mean? And you know, you have to take a hat off him.
And you know, for a player, when people talk about players losing appetite and everything, what, he has 3 All-Ireland titles and
that's right,
a host of all kinds of honours, and still playing with an appetite.
Yeah, there's no evidence of him being stale or you know, lost an appetite. But that's the kind of him. If you get to know the lad, that's the way he is. And he's, you know, he's very softly spoken about everything. He doesn't blow your head about anything. He's quite keen on the GAA. Like he through the years, he got an offer to go to Australia. He chose to stay. That's what he is. He's a pure Gael when it comes to it. He's one of the top lads in the county. And thankfully, Tom, he's still there with us. You know, I always been concerned about him, you know, an injury, because it's like the same with Michael Murphy and Donegal. Players that got, you know, can get injured, and unfortunately we've had a couple of years where Sean has got injured, so thankfully he's staying injury free this year, which is good for us, you know.
And he must be a huge influence in the dressing room as well, I'd imagine.
Well, you see, that's the thing about him. He's coming in there with lads that probably would have watched him won All-Irelands, you know, so he has that respect there. And as I say, he's a well-spoken lad, and he knows how to talk football. So I could imagine he would be an ideal man to have there, sitting, you know, at half time and having having his say. And lads will definitely hang to every word he would say, which is great for a manager to have that, Tom, you know.
And before we ask what next for Tyrone, what did you make of Sunday's Ulster final?
I thought. Chatting to Marty Carlin during the week, I figured Donegal would win it easy. I thought they'd win it easy because I figured that Monaghan possibly had peaked before this, but you know, and years gone by, I mean, like last year, possibly they've had their best. But I think Donegal got caught a wee bit on the hop. I think that, you know, when you talk about managers, I think that the Monaghan manager had done his work on Donegal. He studied them, he lay in wait for them, basically, in my opinion. And you have to still look at Donegal. Quite a few of the lads didn't play to their standard, Tom. Look, Michael was obviously injured, and Carol Lacey going off, and a lot of them things happened with Donegal that weren't talked about prior to the game. Them kind of things don't be talked about prior to the game, and you have to deal with them in the game. And Donegal didn't actually deal with them well, but they still had a couple of good lads. You know, a couple of good performances there as well. Like, you know, there's a couple of lads. McGlynn was top class, and I thought the two McHughes done very well as well. Like they still had a couple of good. Good, and like McBurney at the end, and you know, I don't know how that was weighed or not, but you know, if it had been a point, you know, you wouldn't be sitting talking like this. You know, the match would be a replay, and you'd be looking at Donegal to be going on to win it, you know.
Anyway, what can Tyrone fans expect? An All-Ireland quarter final at least?
Well, I can guarantee you, Mickey's not thinking of that at the minute. He's looking at Sligo, and you know, obviously. They got a terrible beating on Sunday. I think Mayo just seen all their Christmases come at one time. You know, everything just sort of came for them. Whether or not Sligo were poor, I think John alluded to the manager coming out and saying he was a wee bit naive. He possibly was a bit naive, but look, they were against Roscommon, Tom. Roscommon possibly should have won that match too. So, you know, if you're looking at that match, realistically, you should think that Tyrone should beat Sligo, but it'll not be an easy game. It'll not be a game like they had last week. They'll be going for it, you know.
And the prospect of playing Monaghan, I think, is it?
Prospect of playing Monaghan too. And like, I know for a fact, Tom, that this present Tyrone team would love a crack at Monaghan, you know. So it would be ideal for us. I think it's the perfect run up for us. In fairness, we've been lucky in the backdoor system. We've had, you know, I wouldn't say handy draws, but you know, they're favourable enough. When it came to it, you would have been unhappy about getting them. Same thing applies on Sunday, Sligo. But Monaghan's a team that I think that we need. And Donegal showed up Monaghan's in the second half that, you know, they can be got as well. Like, you know, so Monaghan would be a team that definitely this Tyrone team would not fear.
So you're looking forward to another couple of outings in Croke Park.
Well, finally we have one. I thought that was over us now, Tom. Thankfully, we'll be back now in only a week, or Saturday week, to Croke Park.
That's great. Thanks indeed to John there. John Lynch joining us from his home in Castledare. Just to remind you, of course, for Manor in action this weekend as well. They have a glorious opportunity of making the quarterfinals as well. They play Westmeath in Kingspan Breffni Park on Saturday evening at 5 o'clock. And then the other. All-Ireland qualifier this weekend is Cork versus Kildare in Simple Stadium in Thurles, and of course it's Donegal versus Galway next week, and Tyrone versus Sligo. That's a double header in Croke Park. That's about it from me, from my special guests in studio here, Maureen O'Donnell, John Hearn, and from John Lynch in Tyrone, also from Jimmy Stafford on sound. My thanks to you, agus slán agus bealach, go dtí an seacht an tseagán.
Broadcasting throughout the Northwest and across the world online.